forget. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, February 18th, 2008 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Happy Monday to you. I spent the weekend this weekend just doing a bunch of research, watching a bunch of video clips, and I ran across a clip, a very interesting clip, that was for some reason banned by YouTube. And I went in and watched this clip. And I tell you what, I almost started to cry because it took me back to a simpler time. It took me back to my days as a young teenager when John F. Kennedy was still alive. And it's on my website, folks, at www.theamericanawakening.org. And this clip is about Ron Paul. And whoever did this clip put it together very, very well, so well, in fact, that it hit home so hard with me, and obviously with YouTube as well, that they banned it. So I would like to invite you to go in and watch it. It's right underneath Michael Rivero's quote, "Propaganda is not designed to fool the critical thinker. It is designed only to give cowards an excuse to do nothing." So along with that, I posted a few other interesting tidbits on my website today. And if you guys remember last week, I believe it was, Wednesday, I believe, that I had Larry Nichols on. And by the way, he's going to be making a repeat appearance next week on the show. But I had him on to talk about Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Chronicles. And the reason that I did that, folks, is I know most of the listening audience out there has no intentions of voting for Hillary Clinton. But the reason that I did that, and also I had Sergeant Ted Sampley on last week, pretty much taken down John McCain. And this is for anybody that knows somebody that says that they want to vote for Hillary or they want to vote for McCain. You want to guide them in and let them listen to the archives of my show. Bring them into RBN and wake them up a little bit. Today, I'm going to do the same thing, only this time I'm going to do it with Barack Obama, because here we have three candidates, and this is what really disturbs me, folks, is that the top three-tiered candidates, Hillary, McCain, and Obama, are about as corrupt as they get. And then I watched this clip of Ron Paul, the only true constitutional man, the only one that is truly qualified to lead this country, to lead the nation, to lead the world, to lead us, to get our country back on track. They're not paying any attention to this guy, and they're putting these people in the limelight, people that are, to me, just absolutely disgusting. And I pulled up a clip from Judicial Watch, and I'm not sure whether any of you guys are aware of this or not, but Judicial Watch put out the list of the 10 most wanted corrupt politicians for 2007. And guess who's right on the top of the list? None other than Hillary Clinton. So I find this interesting, and I'm going to read an excerpt on Hillary that is in Judicial Watch, and the reason for, a small part of the reason for her corruptness. And Obama, interestingly enough, is number 8 on the list. Now remember, this guy came out of nowhere, okay? Remember, he all of a sudden is catapulted into the forefront, and now he's a top contender, actually leading Hillary Clinton right now. But hopefully, when I get through with this show, and by the way, this may take longer than today. If it takes longer than just today, I'm going to run this into tomorrow because I've got a lot to cover on this guy. Some of it you may know, some of it you may not know, but remember, it's all for education, and if you know anybody.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Apologize for that little technical glitch. What I was saying was, if you know anyone that is talking about voting for Hillary, for McCain, or for Obama, lead them in and let them listen to the archives of those past two shows last week and this show today if they're thinking about voting for Obama, and maybe they'll just change their mind. But anyway, let me get into this real quick excerpt on Judicial Watch. Now, according to Judicial Watch, Hillary Clinton is the most. She is number one on a list of the top 10 most corrupt politicians. And what they say about her is, in addition to her long and sordid ethics record, Senator Hillary Clinton took a lot of heat in 2007, and rightly so, for blocking the release of her official White House records. Many suspect these records contain a treasure trove of information related to her role in a number of serious Clinton-era scandals. Wonder why. Moreover, in March of 2007, Judicial Watch filed an ethics complaint against Senator Clinton for filing false financial disclosure forms with the United States Senate again. And Hillary's top campaign contributor, Norman Hsu, was exposed as a felon, what a surprise, and a fugitive from justice in 2007. Hsu pleaded guilty to one count of grand theft for defrauding investors as part of a multi-million dollar Ponzi scheme. Now, that's what they've got on Hillary. Of course, I've got a lot more, and Larry Nichols, as we know, has a whole lot more. But let me get into Barack Obama here. What Judicial Watch has to say about Senator Obama: a dishonorable mention last year, Senator Obama moves on to the 10 most wanted list in 2007. In 2006, it was discovered that Obama was involved in a suspicious real estate deal with an indicted political fundraiser, Antoine Tony Rezko. In 2007, more reports surfaced of deeper and suspicious business and political connection. It was reported that just 2 months after he joined the Senate, Obama purchased $50,000 worth of stock in speculative companies whose major investors were his biggest campaign contributors. One of the companies was a biotech concern that benefited from legislation Obama pushed just 2 weeks after the Senate purchased $5,000, or the senator purchased $5,000 of the company's share. Obama was also nabbed conducting campaign business in his Senate office, a violation of federal law. Now, that's Judicial Watch, but I tell you what, as I said, I spent the weekend doing a lot of research here with the help of a friend of mine in California who sent me over a lot of stuff. I went through all of it and added some stuff to it myself. But before I get into that, I want to remind everybody, okay, Obama is new to the Washington establishment, but appears to have learned quickly how business is done in the political arena. If you look at these and other politicos named in Judicial Watch's list, a pattern becomes obvious. Someone gains a position of decision-making power or influence in government through the help of others looking for favors, grants, and contracts from the government. Once the person gains office, he or she returns the favor by pushing for beneficial legislation for their sponsors, or they garner earmarks for friends, relatives, and cronies, or secure government contracts to improve land adjoining their own private investment properties. Oh, and by the way, Nancy Pelosi is guilty of that also, but that's a subject for another day. The corrupt politician then builds up his or her own wealth at the expense of the very taxpayers they claim to represent. Those who help the corrupt politician attain office get the benefit of their newfound position. Those who didn't help are ignored, and those who oppose them earn their wrath. Can you say Ron Paul here, folks? In a perfect world, this would be called influence peddling. Politicians who claim to represent the little guy and, quote, stand up to the big bad corporate interests, unquote, are playing a game of political soap opera for us, the unwashed masses, while the old media provide them with a stage. They use all the buzzwords their focus groups say will resonate with their audience. They have a standard sales pitch approved by their sponsors. They put that sales pitch to use while they're on a campaign trail. Unscrupulous politicians align themselves with companies and industries that are friendly to their cause with the understanding that the candidate will return the favor or look favorably upon business ventures of the supporter in the future once the candidate is in office. The fact that such politicians villainize one group of businesses and canonize another is merely a function of the team that they have chosen to play on. In debating the differences between such candidates, you and I may well engage in useless arguments as to which is a better car, Chevy or Ford, or who's the better football league, AFL or NFL. And with that, folks, let me get into this. Now, there's some questionable, there's been a lot of questions that have arisen on Clinton's religious, excuse me, not Clinton, but Obama's religious ties. And for those of you who do not know, Barack Obama, in a way that recalls John F. Kennedy, a politician to whom he's frequently compared, has carefully controlled and burnished his image to create the impression of an independent figure, free from dogma and ideological entanglements. But there is one man who threatens to undermine Obama's appealing narrative as a man above the ugly quarrels and divisive partnership of the past, his longtime pastor and spiritual advisor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Now, this article is put out by John Perrazzo in Front Page Magazine, folks, and I'm not going to read the entire article to you because it's too lengthy, but what I am going to do is I'm going to outline segments of this article, because there is a suspicion here that Barack Obama just could be a bit racist. Now, when we read the writings, the public statements, and sermons of Reverend Wright, who, by the way, gave Obama his blessing for the presidency, who married him, who ordained his two children, not ordained but baptized, I believe, when we read the public statements and sermons of Reverend Wright, we quickly notice his unmistakable conviction that America is a nation infested with racism, prejudice, and injustices that make life very difficult for black people. As he declared in one of his sermons, quote, racism is how this country was founded and how this country is still run. We Americans believe in white supremacy and black inferiority and believe it more than we believe in God, unquote. Now, I don't know how many of you believe that. I don't believe that. In a similar spirit, Wright laments, quote, the social order under which we blacks live, under which we suffer, under which we are killed, unquote. Depicting blacks as a politically powerless demographic, he complains that, quote, African Americans don't run anything in the Capitol except elevators, unquote. Reading on here, and again, I'm skipping over some of this stuff, folks, because it's really just too lengthy to get into. But it goes on to say, in Wright's calculus, white America's bigotry is to blame not only for whatever ills continue to plague the black community, but also for our country's conflicts with other nations. In the 21st century, says Wright, white America got a wake-up call after 9/11 of 2001. White America and the Western world came to realize that people of color had not gone away, faded into the woodwork, or just disappeared as the great white West kept on its merry way of ignoring black concerns. Well, as we all know, that's not true, because we know who did 9/11, and it certainly wasn't 19 Saudi Arabian hijackers from Arabia. He goes on to say, remarkably, no mention of jihad, the ageless Muslim tradition of aggressive permanent warfare whose ultimate aim is to achieve Islam's domination over the human race at large, managed to find its way into Wright's analysis. Rather, he assured us that the 9/11 atrocities were ultimately traceable to the doorstep of U.S. provocations. Now, I don't disagree with that. Ron Paul has said the same thing, and he said that in a debate, if you recall, and he was scorned for it. In fact, Wright apparently sees no reason to suspect that Islam may be incompatible in any way with Western traditions. Islam and Christianity are a whole lot closer than you may realize, he has written. Islam comes out of Christianity. Apart from America's purported racism, Wright also despises the nation's capitalist economic structure, viewing it as a breeding ground for all manner of injustice. Capitalism, as made manifest in the New World, says Wright, depended upon slave labor by African slaves, and it is only maintained by keeping the two-thirds world under oppression. Given Wright's obvious low regard for the United States and Israel, it is by no means surprising that he reserves some of his deepest respect for the virulently anti-American, anti-Semitic Nation of Islam, leader Louis Farrakhan. When Minister Farrakhan speaks, black America listens, says Wright. Everybody may not agree with him, but they listen. His depth on analysis when it comes to racial ills of this nation is astounding and eye-opening. He brings a perspective that is helpful and honest. Minister Farrakhan will be remembered as one of the 20th and 21st century giants of the African-American religious experience. His integrity and honesty have secured him a place in history as one of the nation's most powerful critics. His love for Africa and African-American people has made him an unforgettable force, a catalyst for change, and a religious leader who is sincere about his faith and his purpose. Now, this gentleman is touting Louis Farrakhan. This seems an odd distinction to confer upon someone whose anti-American, anti-white, anti-Semitic statements are numerous. For example, in 1996, Farrakhan told a Tehran newspaper that God would, quote, bestow upon Muslims, unquote, the honor of destroying America. In February of 1998, he sent a cordial and supportive letter to Saddam Hussein, calling him a visionary who had earned the Iraqi people's love and whose demise would mean a setback for the goal of unity among Muslims. In July of 2002, he declared that America, with blood dripping from its hands, had no moral authority by which to overthrow Saddam. In February 2005, he condemned the United States for waging a war against Islam, adding, there is no way I, as a Muslim, can countenance my children or grandchildren fighting a war against fellow believers in any parts of the world. Farrakhan also has a long, well-documented history of venom-laced references to the white, quote, blue-eyed devils and the Jewish, quote, bloodsuckers who purportedly decimate America's black communities from coast to coast. Moreover, he has referred to the white people as, quote, the skunks of the planet. On a 1984 trip to meet with the Libyan dictator and America's arch-enemy, Muammar Gaddafi, Farrakhan was accompanied by none other than Jeremiah A. Wright. We'll be back at 3. Michael of Dog Awakening coming to you live from Phoenix with more.
ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardiolite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardiolite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour, and I'm reading an article here by John Perrazzo regarding the Reverend Wright here, who, by the way, is Obama's pastor and also, by his own admission, his mentor. And in the front of this article, it is quoted that there is one man who threatens to undermine Obama's appealing narrative, which John Perrazzo is talking about, Reverend Wright. But I disagree with that, because as you see, as I continue here, you're going to find out there's more than one man that may very well take Obama down. But I'm going to get into that later. Let me continue with this article. Farrakhan's October 16, 1995 Million Man March ranks among the events about Reverend Wright, about which Reverend Wright has written most extensively and passionately. Wright attended the rally with his son and has described it as a, quote, once-in-a-lifetime amazing experience, unquote. When a number of prominent African Americans counseled fellow blacks to boycott the demonstration because of Farrakhan's well-documented history of hateful rhetoric, Wright derided those critics as, quote, Negro leaders, unquote, or colored leaders, or Oreos, or house Negras, whose most noteworthy trait was their contemptible Uncle Tomism, he says. There are a whole boatload of, quote, darkies, he says, who think in white supremacist terms, added Wright. Some, quote, darkies think white women are superior to black women. Some, quote, darkies think white lawyers are superior to black lawyers. Some, quote, darkies think white pastors are better than black pastors. There are a whole boatload of, quote, darkies who think anything white and everything white is better than whatever it is black people have. On its website, Wright's church describes itself as in distinctly racial terms, as being an unashamedly black congregation of African people who are true to our native land, the mother continent, the cradle of civilization, and who participate in the TUCC's black worship service and ministries which address the black community. Now, some have suggested that such seemingly exclusionary assertions, coupled with Wright's own racially loaded statements and his close affiliation with Farrakhan, indicate that Wright is guilty of racism. But Wright casually dismisses this charge, stating, quote, "I get tickled every time I hear a Negro call me a racist," unquote. They don't even understand how to define the word. Racism means controlling the means. In other words, Wright employs a rhetorical escape hatch that permits him to evade all charges of racism simply by claiming that only the, quote, "dominant white demographic" is capable of such ugliness. The implication is that no deed or utterance, however hateful or vile, is egregious enough to qualify any black person as a racist, that blacks are always the victims of racism, never its perpetrators. American voters ought to have more than a passing interest in the fact that when Barack Obama formally joined the TUCC church in 1991, he tacitly accepted the same Jeremiah Wright as a spiritual mentor. Moreover, he pledged allegiance to the church's race-conscious black value system that encourages blacks to patronize black-only businesses, support black leaders, and avoid becoming entrapped by the pursuit of a black middle-classness, whose ideals presumably would erode their sense of African identity and render them captive to white culture. In addition, voters should examine carefully the question of whether Obama shares Wright's socialist economic preferences. They ought to be aware, for instance, that the Democratic candidate is on record as having said that his religious faith has led him to question, quote, "the idolatry of the free market," unquote. Moreover, Obama's voting record and his issue on positions show him generally in favor of high spending and increased government intervention in all realms of life. When Reverend Wright's controversial statements and positions recently became more widely publicized, Obama said, and I quote, "There are some things I agree with my pastor about and some things I disagree with him about." Now, listen to this, folks. He goes on to say, "It is the duty of every American voter to determine exactly where those agreements and disagreements lie." And with that, I say, okay, Obama, we the voters are exercising our duty. We're asking, give us some answers. How are we to determine, sir? Okay, you tell us. You're the only one that knows for sure. Now, let me continue here, folks. I'm not done. Farrakhan has repeatedly made hate-filled statements targeting Jews, whites, America, and homosexuals. He has called whites blue-eyed devils and the Antichrist. He has described Jews as bloodsuckers who control the government, the media, and some black organizations. The month after his speech, Obama's minister and friend, Reverend Jeremiah A. Wright, Jr., and his Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago honored Farrakhan at a gala, bestowing on him its Reverend Dr. Jeremiah A. Wright, Jr. Lifetime Achievement Trumpeteer Award. Obama has said he found religion through Wright in the 1980s and consulted him before deciding to run for president. He prayed privately with Wright before announcing his candidacy last year. While the mainstream media have hammered Mitt Romney over his religion, they have totally ignored or else downplayed Obama's ties to Wright. No stories have appeared on Wright's award to Farrakhan in December. The title of Obama's bestseller, The Audacity of Hope, comes from one of Wright's sermons. But Obama's close association with Wright over more than two decades and the minister's close ties to Farrakhan cannot be explained away so cavalierly. If Obama rejects Wright's warped view of this country, why does he continue to attend his church? If Obama disagrees with Farrakhan and his anti-Semitic and anti-white statements, why doesn't he denounce him rather than to continue to associate with a minister and friend who is one of his advocates and who gave him an award for a lifetime achievement? We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with me. I got a whole bunch more on this, folks.
You're listening. listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. A way for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm neglecting to mention, folks, I'm reading a few excerpts out of another article, Newsmax.com, by Ron Kessler. And the question is here, does Obama secretly agree with some of their hate-filled radical statements while publicly avoiding race-specific appeals as part of his candidacy? Now, Obama may be a gifted orator, but his choice of a friend and advisor suggests he is masquerading as a moderate. While the liberal media have already decided Obama will be our next president, Americans may have a different view when they consider what his ties to right tell us about the presidential candidate's true opinions and character. And I'm not done yet, folks, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break real quick, go to a phone call. DJ from Illinois, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Hey, I've got a couple of rhetorical questions and a few statements.
Okay, real quick.
In my opinion, well, as Obama is supposedly descended from European royalty or the royal families, where does this factor in? Is he black in paint job only?
Well, as I continue here, because I'm nowhere near close to done, we may just figure that out. And this program, DJ, as you are probably aware, is not for the sake of my diligent and very knowledgeable listening audience. It's for anybody who's thinking about, that is related to you or a friend of yours or the listening audience, who has thoughts of voting for this guy. Okay?
Go
ahead.
Okay. One of the quotes from Obama about the capitalism, Ralph Epperson, I think, put it the best is that every way of marketing is capitalistic. It's just a matter of whether it's free market or fascism or dictatorship or socialism. It's just a matter of which one and which way the capital moves and how it moves and who benefits from it. And I keep thinking of this man that I heard different times called André Aiglechin. He is the author of, amongst things, Thieves in the Temple, about the Federal Reserve System. This man is actually a descendant of American slaves. This man is what Obama could only dream of being. I mean, and that's stretching it.
Well, but DJ, you know, Obama's running on, quote, change. He's going to change things. The question is, when I get through here, exactly what kind of change is he trying to implement here?
Oh, but that's what Junior was going to do too, remember?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else, dear? I got to continue. I got a whole bunch to get through here. So.
I think he is part of the problem for Americans who are of any black descent. Because he is reinforcing the delusion that they can never be until they get rid of whatever their nemesis is. Now, let's see. La Raza is preaching that. Hitler preached that. And how many others? Anyway, I think I squashed that soapbox a little.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to run here, dear.
Thanks for letting me, Ben.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, folks, this one, now, this next article is called Obamination, and it's written by Eric Rush, who, by the way, is a black fellow, okay? It says, is Barack Obama seeking to be our first black president or our first stealth black supremacist president? Since before he officially announced his candidacy, both the right and left have commented on the lack of information vis-a-vis just who Obama is and what he's all about. The candidate has built broad appeal by presenting himself as an open-minded moderate Democrat, but light shed on a little-known aspect, his faith suggests his beliefs are closer to that of a refined Black Panther. Now, the question is this. How many Americans would vote for a presidential candidate who was a member of a church that professed the following credo? Number one, commitment to God. Commitment to the white community, commitment to the white family, dedication to the pursuit of education, dedicated to the pursuit of excellence, adherence to the white worth ethic, commitment to self-discipline and self-respect, disavowal of the pursuit of middle-classness, pledge to make the fruits of all developing and acquired skills available to the white community, pledge to allocate regularly a portion of personal resources for strengthening and supporting white institutions, to pledge allegiance to all white leadership who espouse and embrace the white value system, and personal commitment to embrace of the white value system. Now, how many Americans would vote for a presidential candidate like that? And those holding the branding irons would be 100% right. Yet in the About section of the U.S. Senate website for Barack Obama, Democratic Senator from Illinois and contender for the Democratic nomination for President of the United States, it states that Obama and his family live on Chicago's South Side where they attend Trinity United Church of Christ. So, well, to say that the Trinity United Church of Christ is Afrocentric in the extreme would be a gross understatement. It's not simply Afrocentric. It's African-centric. In fact, one could argue that this organization worships things Africans to a far greater degree than they do Christ and gives the impression of being a separatist church in the same vein as do certain supremacist white brethren churches or even Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam. Shocking? An overstatement? An overreaction? One can see for oneself on the Trinity United Church website, which is replete with confirmation of what I present here. What follows is an excerpt from their mission statement. Quote, "We are a congregation which is unashamedly black and unapologetically Christian. Our roots in the black religious experience and tradition are deep, lasting, and permanent. We are an African people and remain true to our native land, the mother continent, the cradle of civilization. God has superintended our pilgrimage through the days of slavery, the days of segregation, and the long night of racism. It is God who gave us the strength and courage to continuously address injustice as a people and as a congregation. We constantly affirm our trust in God through cultural expression of a black worship service and ministries which address the black community. Trinity United Church of Christ adopted the black value system written by the Manford Byrd Recognition Committee, chaired by Valmer Jordan in 1981. We believe in the following 12 precepts and covenantal statements. These black ethics must be taught and exemplified in homes, churches, nurseries, and schools. Wherever blacks are gathered, they must reflect on the following concepts. Number one, here we go. Commitment to God, commitment to the black community, commitment to the black family, dedication to the pursuit of education, dedicated to the pursuit of excellence, adherence to the black work ethic, commitment to the self-discipline and self-respect, disavowal of the pursuit of middle classness, pledge to make the fruits of all developing and acquired skills available to the black community, pledge to allocate regularly a portion of personal resources for strengthening and supporting black institutions, pledge allegiance to all black leadership who espouse and embrace the black value system, and personal commitment to the embracement of the black value system. Now, does that sound familiar? Of course it is, since it's identical to the 12-point list at the beginning of this column, the one from the theoretical white supremacist candidate's church. The only difference is the substitution of the word black for white. Trinity United Church of Christ congregation also claims to hold a 10-point vision, which is similarly Afrocentric or, if you will, separatist. Again, like the Nation of Islam, a white separatist church or a branch Davidians, or the branch Davidians, Trinity United more resembles a cult than a church. Only this one has as its most prominent member a serious contender for the White House. And George W. Bush's born-again Christian status scares people? These revelations, of course, shed all the light we need on Obama's inscrutability, since before he announced his candidacy, both the right and left have commented on the lack of information vis-a-vis just who Barack Obama is and what he's all about. Now, that's number one. Remember when I started this, folks, the first article that I read, actually it wasn't, there's one man who threatens to undermine Obama's appealing narrative, speaking of Reverend Wright, but I disagree with that because there's more than one man that is a skeleton in this boy's closet. The second guy up, shifting gears here, Tony Antoine Rezko. For anybody who doesn't know who that guy is, he's a slumlord up in Chicago. Barack Obama just keeps bobbling the Tony Rezko hot potato, and if he doesn't get a handle on it soon, his campaign for the presidency is going to be badly burned. On Wednesday, the Illinois senator fumbled again as he continued to try to minimize his relationship with Tony Rezko while making the rounds of the morning news shows. His quote is, "My relationship is he was somebody who I knew and had been a supporter for many years," Obama said in a CBS interview in response to Hillary Clinton's slumlord attack from earlier this week. He was somebody who had supported a wide range of candidates all throughout Illinois, and nobody had an inkling that he was involved with any problems. Somebody who I knew? Wow. That's such an understatement that it borders on a falsehood. Proving, though, that this was one of Obama's programmed talking points, not just a slip of the tongue. He also told ABC, and I quote, "This is somebody who was active in Illinois politics who I knew. Nobody had any indication that he was engaging in wrongdoing," unquote. Yeah, Obama certainly did know Rezko. He knew him quite well, although perhaps not as well as he should have. This was not the same guy he used to hang out with in high school. This is somebody who spotted Obama's raw talent and offered him a job while he was still in law school. Somebody who gave him one of his very first campaign donations for his first political race. This is somebody for whom Obama and his law firm performed legal work. Not a great deal of it by Obama personally, perhaps, but enough to know how the man made his money and that he was one of the major developers of low-income housing in his state legislative district. Somebody who was a big fundraiser. This is somebody who was one of the key fundraisers for Obama's U.S. Senate campaign. Somebody who came through with big money at a crucial juncture in a different primary contest. And let's not forget, this is somebody who bought the piece of real estate adjoining Obama's home, then sold the senator part of it in a very strange transaction about which key details have never been disclosed, owing in part to the curious refusal of the real estate agents and prior owners to discuss it. Beyond that, Obama and Rezko had a personal friendship that was still going strong 2 years ago, the extent of which has been difficult to explore with Resco under indictment and Obama trying to run from him as far and as fast as he can. It's way past time for Obama to come completely and entirely clean about his Resco dealings, preferably, of course, in an interview with this newspaper, and this particular newspaper has to be Chicago Sun-Times, a mainstream newspaper, folks. Remember, this is a relationship to which Resco could soon be testifying in a federal court if he chooses. And by the way, I believe his trial's coming up this month. And they have revoked this guy's bond because they found out in federal court that he lied. He had $3.5 million wired in from overseas after he told the federal court he didn't have access to any money anywhere else but the United States. So they revoked his bond, and he's in prison right now waiting to go to trial. Not prison, but jail, excuse me. But one way or another, it's all going to come out before Obama can reach the finish line in November. He needs to prove he can deal with this forthrightly now before the Republicans make him explain it. I write this as somebody who is always expected to be voting for Obama this year. This particular columnist, his name is Mark Brown, was going to vote for Obama. This isn't going to go away. And while the Resco business has definitely taken the bloom off the rose, I still haven't seen anything so far that should disqualify Obama from being president. Oh, yeah? Well, wait. I'm not done yet. Certainly not in a matchup with Hillary Clinton, who has her own fundraising con man albatross in Norman Hsu to complement her earlier trail of tears from Whitewater to Monica Lewinsky. Now, let me stop here for just a minute. And can you see here now, folks, why when I was doing my research over the weekend and I ran across that video clip of Ron Paul that was banned on YouTube, I sat there, watched it, and my heartstrings were tugged at and I almost cried. Because here we're dealing with three top-tier candidates, Hillary Scumball Clinton, McCain, the supposed prisoner of war, and then we've got Obama here, which I'm not even close to being done with yet, and that's our three choices? Give me a break. We've got to get Ron Paul elected. We've got to go on this march in Washington, and hopefully 20 million people will show up there. But let me continue here. Most troubling to me is how Obama keeps handling this issue. A continuing lapse in judgment that leaves me wondering if there's more here than meets the eye instead of less. Just last weekend, the Obama campaign donated to charity another $40,000 in past campaign donations linked to Antoine Tony Resco. Why hadn't they taken care of that months ago instead of waiting for the latest Sun-Times story? From the start, Obama's approach to the Resco situation has been to minimize and avoid as if it would eventually just go away. Well, it won't. As far as nobody having an inkling that Resco could be a problem, that's just not true either. Many people recognize Resco as the guy on the make who was busily ingratiating himself to Chicago politicians with an eye toward a future payback. As I've written before, and remember what I said, you know, when I read out of Judicial Watch? Okay, the future payback, folks, that's what they do when they get in office. As I've written before, from the moment he showed up as John Stroger's biggest campaign donor, the question were always, what does he want and what's his angle? The details of his indictment show just how far Resco would allegedly go to take advantage of his ties to an Illinois governor. Imagine what he had in mind for if his other buddy became president. But believe it or not, I'm not done yet. And by the way, folks, remember the first article I read when I said, well, this is the one guy that could take him down? That was that particular columnist's opinion. No, here's the second guy, but I've got a third one waiting in the wings, so you got to stick with me here, because that one's going to be the coup de grace. This one is out of the Sun-Times, I believe it's the Sun-Times, Dave McKinney and Chris Fusco, staff reporters contributing. Mark Brown is also contributing to this. Obama on the Resco deal? Well, it was a mistake. And remember, as I said, Resco is sitting in jail right now awaiting trial, which I believe comes up this, it's either later this month or early next month, and they've revoked his bond because they've determined that he's a flight risk on a $3.5 million wire transfer from overseas. U.S. Senator Barack Obama expressed regret late Friday for his 2005 land purchase from now indicted political fundraiser Antoine Tony Resco in a deal that enlarged the senator's yard. He says, "I consider this a mistake on my part, and I regret it." Obama told the Chicago Sun-Times in an exclusive and revealing question-and-answer exchange about the transaction. In June of 2005, Obama and Rezko purchased adjoining parcels in Kenwood. The state's junior senator paid $1.6 $5 million for a Georgian revival mansion, while Rezko paid $625,000 for the adjacent undeveloped lot. Both closed on their properties on the same day. Senator Barack Obama says he regrets purchasing land from the political fundraiser Antoine Rezko. Okay, let's see. I think we got a break coming up here shortly, but interestingly enough, there's a state worker who puts up his home for Rezko's bail. Last January, aiming to increase the size of his side yard, Obama paid Rezko $104,500 for a strip of his land. The transaction occurred at a time when it was widely known Tony Rezko was under investigation by U.S. Attorney Pat Fitzgerald, and as other Illinois politicians befriended by Rezko distanced themselves from him. While that was going on, folks, I'll be back with more. Stick with me. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm not done yet.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, Collodial Silver, Olive Leaf Extract, Oregano Oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog of The American Awakening coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Short segment coming up to the top of the hour. And I want to remind you, I just finished here, but this transaction occurred. This purchase to increase the size of Obama's yard that he paid Rezko $104,500. It occurred at a time when it was widely known that Resco was under investigation by U.S. Attorney Pat Fitzgerald, and a lot of the Illinois politicians befriended by Resco were distancing themselves from him. Now, Obama acknowledged approaching Resco about the two properties being up for sale and that Resco developed an immediate interest. Obama did not explain why he reached out to Resco given the developer's growing problems. Last month, Resco was indicted for his role in an alleged pay-to-play scheme designed to fatten Governor Blagojevich's political fund. Resco was also accused of bilking a creditor. With respect to the purchase of my home, Obama says, I am confident that everything was handled ethically and above board, but I regret that while I tried to pay close attention to the specific requirements of ethical conduct, I misgauged the appearance presented by my purchase of the additional land from Mr. Resco. It was simply not good enough that I paid above the appraised value for the strip of land that he sold me. It was a mistake to have engaged with him at all in this or any other personal business dealing that would allow him or anyone else to believe that he had done me a favor, the senator said. Obama and Resco have been friends since 1990, so that's what, 18 years. And Obama said that Wilmette businessman raised as much as $60,000 for him during his political year, and I found out that it's more like $150,000, folks. After Resco's indictment, Obama donated $11,500 to charity, the total that represents what Resco contributed to the senator's federal campaign fund. After the controversy surfaced on Wednesday, the Sun-Times presented Obama's office with a lengthy set of questions about the land deal and Obama's relationship with Resco and the story's impact on the potential 2008 bid for the White House. Now, one of the questions, have you or your wife participated in any other transactions of any kind with Resco or companies he owns, or have you or your wife ever done any legal work for Resco or his companies? And the answer to that question by Obama was no. But that's not true, because Obama did do legal work for Tony Resco. Not a lot, but he did 5 hours worth of legal work personally for Tony Resco, okay? But he said no to that question. Has Resco ever given you or your family members gifts of any kind, and if so, what were they? No. He answered no to the question. Yet, interestingly enough, the particular piece of land that Obama purchased was $300,000 below appraised value. And it says, why is it that you were able to buy your parcel for $300,000 less than the asking price? And Rita Resco paid full price. Who negotiated this end of the deal? And did whoever negotiated it have any contract with Rita and Tony Resco or their realtor or lawyer? The answer was our agent negotiated only with the seller's agent. As we understood it, the house had been listed for some time. This reeks to high heaven, folks. I don't know about you, but this alone is enough to even if I were a Democrat, I wouldn't vote for Barack Obama. But that's not all of it, okay? What else have I got here? Oh, now, all of this research, or not all of it, but most of this research, came from a friend of mine in Los Angeles who sent that over to me. But that's not all. How many of you have heard of Larry Sinclair? Does that name ring a bell? Because it just popped up here. It's on my website, folks. There's a video clip of Larry Sinclair with some really, really serious allegations that has filed a case in federal court against Barack Obama. We'll be back, top of the hour. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, and I'll continue with that when we get back. Stick with me. This one's really amazing.
I paid a price, and I'll keep paying.